Really good to be here tonight in Newton Abbey, and we're delighted to be able to come and join with you in the time of fellowship. And we're glad that now in Carrie Duff we've got our own minibus, and we can go where we want, when we want, and we're free and available. And we're really thankful for those who came with me tonight from Carrie Duff. And it's good to be here, and good to have fellowship with you, and renew fellowship with your minister, the Reverend McClung, whom we regard very highly in the Lord. Turn with me tonight to the book of Proverbs. I want to draw your attention to chapter 1. We're going to read in chapter 1, and then we'll have a wee word of prayer. Follow with me if you can. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy for gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Now we'll end the reading there at verse 19. We pray the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of the Holy Scriptures. Let's just have a wee word of prayer together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for providentially bringing us together in such a manner this evening. We bless thy name for every opportunity for fellowship. And we ask thee to remember the youth here in Newton Abbey. We thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus for this congregation, from the day of its conception, for its consolidation, for its continuation right up to this present time. We thank thee for the Reverend and Mrs. McClung and their family. We thank you for the ministry of the Word of God, even the Word of God that was preached in this house this day. We thank you for the Kirk session, the committee. We thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school. We thank thee especially, too, for the school. And we appreciate, Lord, the work of education that goes on in the confines of this building. And, Lord, we commend all to thee. We pray for thy help and thy blessing. And we look forward to hearing continual news of souls being saved, backsliders being restored, and a visitation of God sweeping through this whole area. Lord, remember not only Newton Abbey, but remember, Lord, our wee province at this time. Thou dost know the moral maze that we find ourselves in. Thou dost know the dark and difficult times in which we have to live, the environment, Lord, and we cry unto thee. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Visit Belfast and its people. Visit, Lord, this land, and send a mighty, glorious, heaven-sent revival of true Bible-believing religion. Lord, of mercy. And even from amongst our youth, we pray that you'll bless them. And we look to thee, Lord, that you'll strengthen them and help them to be like Daniel, to propose in their heart that they'll not defile themselves with the portion that this world has to offer. Lord, remember us to this end. Come and apply the precious blood. Come and quicken us by the Spirit. Come and teach us and help us even this evening. And Lord, in such a way speak to us that thou will direct our paths in the ways of righteousness. To this end we leave ourselves with thee. Undertake for us now. Grant us thy help and thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to leave a few thoughts with you tonight from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. One of the young men quoted it there in the quiz. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And if you look also in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, you get a similar verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. And of course, that's a reference to the holiness of God, knowledge of the holy God, and His holy ways and His holy word. When I was thinking about coming to speak to you, I went back a few weeks in our own young people's fellowship, and I had been thinking about the book of Proverbs. We're told here in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And what is these Proverbs that have come from the lips and the hand of Solomon? Well, you see, they're not just witty sayings. They're not just something to make us titter and laugh and say, that's a nice little thought. Remember that God Himself is the author of every one of these Proverbs. The Bible tells us every word of God is pure. And the book of Proverbs, if I could describe it this way, is laws from heaven for life on earth. So every one of these Proverbs is an inspired saying from God in heaven to govern and regulate our life on earth. So really it's a message from heaven for life on earth that governs and rules our lives. And whenever we begin to see that, then we can see the strength and the importance of these Proverbs that have come from the lips and from the handwriting of King Solomon. King Solomon, of course, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he was one of the wisest or the wisest man that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus. And here he is writing these Proverbs for us. And these Proverbs are to be given to us in such a way that we receive them as a word from God to govern and strengthen our lives. And to me, one of the most important texts, and there's many texts in the book of Proverbs, No, there's 31 chapters, and I like to think of the days of the month, and a chapter a day. It can keep the devil at bay. If you read the book of Proverbs, many of them are directed to young people, and in the context of families, mothers and fathers, and so it has an important message for us. But to me, one of the most important texts in the whole of the book of Proverbs, and there's many of them, is this text that starts in chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I'm going to set before you just three things tonight. I want you to think of the meaning of the fear of the Lord. If you think of this, the fear of the Lord, and it's a reference to Jehovah, the living and the true God, the God of the Bible, our creator and maker, and the one who is in sovereign control of time and events and history. What does this mean then, the fear of the Lord? Well, let me illustrate it. And this is the way I've illustrated it for our own young people. If you compare Scripture with Scripture and turn over there to the book of Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. This ties into the whole thought about sanctification, holiness of life. It says in Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight that those two words, fear and dread, make up the true meaning of the fear of the Lord. Let Him be your dread. Let Him be your fear. Now let me explain that. If you take an illustration, here's a little boy. He's in one of the local schools. We'll call him Johnny. And he's getting out of school. It's a Friday. And I loved Friday just like David did. And when 3 o'clock come, I used to skip out through the gate of the school and the school bag over my head. But you can imagine coming out of school on a Friday, coming to the school gate, and you're going to turn left, you're heading to the bus stop, and all of a sudden as you come out onto the footpath, there's a dread comes upon you. You're filled with a sense of terror. The colour leaves you. Because you know at the bus stop is the school bully. And he's going to ruffle you up a bit. He might take your bus pass. He might take your bus money. He might take your school bag. And there's the dread of meeting the bully. So I want you to put that into your mind. You see, if you turn over again tonight, and I'm not suggesting that God's a bully, but God's a God to be dreaded. If you turn over there to the book of Psalms, Psalm 76, and look with me at verse 7. It says, "Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry?" You see, there's that young fellow thinking about arousing the wrath and the anger of the bully. And that causes him to be terrified in a sense. Remember Paul says in one of his missionary journeys, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The Bible tells us it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And of course, when we think about God's knowledge of our sin, when we think about God's anger of our sin, because God is angry with the wicked every day. The froward is an abomination to the Lord. The ploughing of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Once we begin to understand that God is thrice holy, not only has knowledge of our sin and hates our sin, but God's holiness demands punishment for our sin, then God's not to be a God to be trifled with or treated lightly. Or to be sinned against, in a sense, in a willy-nilly way. Because once God's wrath is aroused, then God can take steps to implement that wrath and that judgment as far as our lives are concerned. So here's the Bible. If we think about the fear of the Lord, what is it? Let him be your dread. Let him fill your mind with a holy terror. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But then think of the same little guy, Johnny, and they're over at Westminster, and they're in a school trip, and they're going off, say, to Buckingham Palace, and they're getting a wee tour around Buckingham Palace. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? And they're all lined up, waiting to get in. And then some official comes out and says, "Well, call him Johnny Smith. There's no Johnny Smith here. Johnny Smith here. Put your hand up. That's me, sir. You come with me." So everybody's like, "Where's Johnny going? What's happening to Johnny?" Right. So Johnny's been ushered into a special room. See Johnny's sitting there in a chair, dangling his legs. So in comes one of the corgis, and in comes the Queen. And Johnny's going to have tea with the Queen. Well, you can imagine where Johnny's sitting. He can hardly talk. He's overawed. And he can't wait to get home. In fact, he can't wait to phone or send a text. "Granny, you'll never guess. I had tea with the Queen." And he might even be brave enough to ask her for his autograph. Now, you see, there's Johnny ushered into the presence of Her Majesty the Queen. And he's a schoolboy, and he's overawed with that. See, it's a different kind of fear. It's now been ushered into the presence of one that causes you to stand in awe, to be overwhelmed in a sense. And young people, I would suggest to you that is the true meaning of the fear of the Lord. And the Bible tells us again in the book of Proverbs, if you look at chapter 23, and it's in the verse 17, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Notice this: "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." So this is not just for all time, but this is from day to day as you walk in your relationship with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, whenever we think about God and we allow a vision of God to come into our mind, we should have a vision of God that fills us with a sense of dread, of offending him, of sinning against him, of arousing his wrath. Because as I've said, he knows all about our sin. And he hates sin. And his holiness demands that sin is punished. But we must also have a vision of God that causes us to be in awe of God. Psalm 46 and verse 10 is a text that's precious to us in Carrie Duff. "Be still and know that I am God."
the God of the Bible can be known, who he is, what he's like, and what he's done. He's the one living and true God. He's our creator and maker. He is absolutely sovereign and control over this world that he's made. The God of the Bible is a good God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and knoweth them that trusteth in him. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who planned the great plan of redemption. And this God, the God of the Bible, should fill us with awe. And know what the Bible tells us? Where there's no vision, the people perish. And one of the missing things today in the life and witness of many of us, I put myself in the front line, who profess to know and love the Lord, is we don't really have a vision of him as we ought. And then we can live so lightheartedly and so flippantly without really giving thought to who God is. Now, we'll never really know God. We can never really comprehend God. We can only know the things that God has revealed about himself in the Holy Scriptures. And therefore, even when we get to know what the Holy Scriptures teach about God and embrace that and think about that in our mind, even then we know so little. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 145 that his greatness is unsearchable. And of course, only God is great. And in every aspect of his nature and being and in his moral and natural attributes. But we're told by Solomon, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we're going to think, secondly, not only the meaning of the fear of the Lord, but I want you to think of the mystery of the fear of the Lord. You see, I'm convinced, and I'm sure the Reverend McClung will agree with this, that this is one of the missing ingredients in the lives of many of us who profess to know and love the Lord and claim to be Christian. Yet the strange thing is, if you look at our text, it says the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge. Now that word beginning is important, because literally it means the source of, or the entrance to. You see, without having the fear of the Lord, there's no other knowledge that you could have in the whole of the world that really counts. There's two types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom that I'm going to call the wisdom of the Word. And James chapter 3, if you turn to it there, it gives the contrast of these two particular types of wisdom. He says there, verse 15, James 3, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there is a wisdom in the world that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now notice what he says in verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And then he contrasts that, so the wisdom of the earth, and then he talks in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, has to do with the holiness of God, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So there's two types of wisdom. And if you actually read the book of Proverbs, that's what Solomon is setting forth. There's the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of the ways or the will or the word of God. You see, the wisdom of the world says, I think, I feel, I do. I was talking to another of our ministers, and we were talking a wee bit about the Ark of the Covenant, and we were talking about Uriah the Hittite, who refused to go in to Bathsheba when he was summoned from the battlefield, even though King David had made him drunk. And he talked about the Ark of the Lord. That was the first thing he mentioned. I can't go into the tent to be with my wife. The soldiers are out in the battlefield. But not only that, the Ark of the Lord. He was putting the Ark of the Lord first. And we were talking about the God of the Bible, and he said something that he'd been reading one of the old divines, a guy called Campbell Morgan, who was a congregational minister, and he said that, quoting Campbell Morgan, that Campbell Morgan was maintaining that there were three gods in this world. And he said those three gods are revealed in the Bible and stand as false gods against the living and the true God. One was called Molech, one was called Baal, and the other was called Mammon. And remember the Lord Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and Mammon." Now, often I took the word Mammon just to mean money. But Mammon is actually a god. The god of materialism. It has to do with the works of our hands. If you think about Baal as a god, and the worship of Baal was all in the Bible, it had to do with one's intellect. It had to do with one's knowledge, one's thought process. In other words, I think. And now you've got man's philosophy, man's mindset. And you see, we're Christians here tonight. We profess to know and love Jesus Christ. And the worldly man would come to us and tell us what they think about God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, heaven and hell. Because they have a world view. And their world view is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti everything to do with Christianity. And what's it based on? It's not based on an objective truth like the Bible. It's based upon their subjective conscious thought. I think. It also has to do with I feel. And there was a god in the Bible called Molech. They actually burnt and sacrificed children to him. And he had to do with one's feelings, one's emotion. And that brings in the whole aspect of sensuality. And of course, sexuality was attached to that as well. So here's another god called Molech. And what had Molech to do with? It had to do with one's feelings, one's emotion. But this is all the wisdom of the world. It's earthly and sensual and devilish. And then, of course, you have Mammon. And Mammon has to do with doing things. Like, we'll think about manufacturing, and we'll think about making money and business. And how many in the world tonight, universities, professors with PhDs, anti-God, anti-Christian mindset, a non-biblical worldview, full of worldly wisdom, I think, I feel, and I do. But it's the wisdom of the world. And I'm saying to you tonight that without the fear of God, then any other knowledge that you have, whether it's to do with your thoughts or your feelings or the works of your hands, it counts to nothing. Because the fear of the Lord is the entrance to wisdom or the entrance to knowledge. It's the door that brings you in. Without this, no other knowledge counts. So what would it really matter if somebody said, "Well, look, I'm a PhD in philosophy and a PhD in theology and something else," and went up to heaven and knocked on heaven's door and wanted to gain entrance but wasn't in Christ, had rejected Christ and rejected the Bible and the doctrine of salvation? Well, he wouldn't be gaining entrance, because the Bible says none that defileth shall enter in. The Bible teaches, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." So there's a mystery about the fear of the Lord. And that mystery has to do with the wisdom of God. See, this world tells us that there is no God. This world says to young people, "Going to church on a Sunday night? You're mad. Forget about God." In fact, they would tell us, there is no God. If you look at our text, it says, "But fools despise wisdom." It mentions fools, and we could mention many fools in the Bible. What about the atheistic fool, the fool who said in his heart, "There is no God"? Remember the man, Luke 12, that the Lord Jesus talked about, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." You see, he lived independently of God. He left God out. He was involved in his thinking, his feeling, and his doing, but so puffed up for pride, he rejected Christ and the gospel. That's the wisdom of the world. But that's not the wisdom of the Word of God. Here's an inspired proverb from Solomon himself, inspired by the Holy Ghost, a law from heaven that governs our life. And what's the first one that he mentions? The fear of the Lord is what? It's the gateway. It's the door to true knowledge. And fools, they despise this. But those that are wise, they will seek to know the fear of the Lord. Now, let me just suggest to you in the time that was left,
Well, maybe I'll give you a little illustration. There was a guy called Billy Sunday. He was a great evangelist in America, and he had very little education, but he knew and loved Jesus Christ. He was a great preacher. He led many hundreds of souls to the Lord. And he was being mocked one time because he had a poor education. I'd say I can identify with him, because when I was 16, I left the state school in Coleraine Secondary School, and I can remember coming out the school gates, walking across the Ban Bridge, standing at the River Ban, and taking the school bag off and flinging it into the River Ban and waving bye-bye. You know, because I thought education, that's for fools. Because at that time I had the wisdom of the world. I wasn't saved. I didn't know God. I didn't fear God. I never thought of God. My philosophy was different. Wine, woman and song. And then I was converted at 18. And what a change was made. And then I had to start going back to school. I remember going into the Whitfield College of the Bible to make an application. Mr. Douglas, your minister knows Mr. Douglas very well. I can remember sitting down, and Mr. Douglas, of course, have you got any education? What about O levels? I said, well, of a spirit level. Well, do you know something? He didn't even tell her. He got the glasses down. And I could feel that stare. Oh, what have I said? I remember that. Come straight in. Shouldn't have said that. But I hadn't got an O level. I ended up having to go back to school and do English and history. I think the other one was it English literature or something? There was like three. And I went to the instant and did them, and a kind teacher, he taught me. I'll give you another little laugh, because the first time I was asked to give a word of testimony and bring a wee message was at a youth rally in Ballymoney, and there was quite a crowd of young people there, and I said to the young people, I was thinking of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, and I said to them, could you all turn to the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, everybody laughed, and I'm saying, every time I mention Ecclesiastes, you know, so I've come a long way from those days. But you know, Billy Sunday was like that, and he was being mocked. These very learned people, they were professors, and you know what he said to them? I'd rather be in heaven knowing ABC than end up in hell knowing many languages of Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and all the rest. You see, there's a wisdom of the world, but there's the wisdom of the Word. And the wisdom of the Word says, fear the Lord, let Him be your dread. Stand in awe of Him. The mystery is, this is the door to true wisdom and true knowledge. And let me close with this thought. Think about the marks of the fear of the Lord. You see, to me, there's really four things that I want to leave with you as far as the marks. Make a decision to live for Him. Paul says, if you sum up Paul's life after he got converted, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. That was the summary of Paul's life. Paul's life was Christ. He made a decision he was going to live for Christ. We sometimes sing, we love singing it and carried off, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I just want to ask tonight, have you decided to follow Christ? Have you come to Christ? Have you confessed your sin, recognized it for what it is, repudiated it, repent of it before God, cried out, God be merciful to me, the sinner? Remember, the scripture says, and somebody quoted it earlier, at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Young people, what's the most important thing? Is it a job? Is it a career? Is it a higher education? Is it a big house and a good salary and a fancy car? I'm not despising any of those things. But those are not the most important things. Those are not the number one priority. The number one priority is for you to make a decision. I'm going to get saved and right with the Lord. And I'm going to live for Christ all the days of my life. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And you see, if you decide that you're going to live for Him, you will love Him. Remember, the scripture says, I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. That's the first and great commandment. Love to God. And you see,
Remember the scripture says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And you can't love God without loving the Lord Jesus. And you can't love the Lord Jesus and without loving the scriptures. And if you love the scriptures, you'll have the love of the Spirit. And you'll have a love for saints. And you have a love for souls. But also you have a love for the Sabbath. And you'll want to be in the house of God on the Sabbath day. You see, isn't it great that you young people have chosen to be here tonight? Nobody has put a gun to your head. Nobody has forced you in. You've come willingly. You've come even after two services are ready today. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And we've got to abound more and more in that love. The Bible talks about keeping yourselves in the love of God. And there's a battle and there's a struggle. And I'm saying to you tonight, if we have the fear of the Lord, here's one of the marks. Not only will we live for Him, but we will love Him. And that's important. A love for Christ. A love for our God. A love for everything that has to do with our God. A deep, affectionate love. Not something lighthearted, not something frivolous, but something that's really, really meaningful. And not only that there, but then we will learn from Him. You know, I remember Dr. Douglas teaching me whenever I was over there as his ministerial assistant many, many years ago, a little prayer from Psalm 86, I think it's verse 11, teach me. And I remember him stressing that point one day in devotions with me, teach me. Oh, David, we'll just stop here. If you think about this, have you prayed today for a teachable spirit? Teach me a willingness to learn the ways of God. So that will mean that we'll spend time with Him in the morning. That means we'll read from the Scriptures. That means we'll listen to what He's saying. I remember the late Dr. Paisley used to phone me up sometimes at 6:30 and sometimes earlier in the morning. And the first morning he did it, he said to me, what honey did you get from the rock today, David? In his big booming voice. And I'm thinking, honey, but it's too early. I haven't eaten the breakfast yet, Dr. Paisley. But he was thinking about something spiritual, because the old Scottish divines used to talk about honey from the rock. And isn't that so important? Because if you're going to live for God in this ungodly environment and love Him, then we must learn from Him. What does the Lord want me to do? Teach me thy way, O Lord. See, He has told us, I will teach thee and instruct thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I'll guide you with mine eye. Everything that we need for life, the Lord has given it in this book. It's all been plainly revealed. You take some of the Ten Commandments that were quoted here tonight. Aren't they very important in our lives? Because that shows us not only God's will, but it shows us God's attitude to sin. And sometimes we forget that. But when we study those Ten Commandments, they show us how sinful we really are. And that throws us. They can't save us, but they can show us our sin. When you examine them in all their depth, even anger in the heart, lust in the heart. Well, let's repent of that. Let's repudiate that. But there's so many other things to learn out of the book. And one final thing, because I don't want to ruffle on too long. Be loyal to Him. That's another mark of the fear of the Lord. I was preaching tonight there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. I'm not going to repeat the sermon for those that were here and carried off. Maybe I'll think that they weren't listening. But the Bible says, but Daniel proposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. What was Daniel doing in Babylon? 17-year-old, 16? We don't know exactly what age he was. That's when we're first introduced to Daniel. And what was Daniel doing in Babylon? He was there taking a stand for God. He was there as a slave to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was going to be taught a new language and a new lifestyle in Babylon. And Daniel said, he proposed in his heart, he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And you know what, young people? We sing, stand up for Jesus. That's what we need in the Free Church. That's what we need in Northern Ireland. We need young men and young women that's going to take a stand for God, that's going to say no to sin, that's going to say yes to righteousness, that's going to live for Christ and love Him and learn from Him, but yet remain thoroughly loyal to Him. And I would leave that little thought with you tonight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools, and there's many fools in the world, atheistic and all the rest, materialistic fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a despiser of wisdom and instruction. Experience the fear of God. Discover the mystery of it. It opens the door to wisdom, true wisdom. And let these marks be in your life. Make a decision. I'm going to live
I'm going to love him. I'm going to learn from him. And I'm going to be loyal to him. The Lord bless you tonight. Reverend McClung, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.